إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، الواحد القهار العزيز الغفار، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. Before I start, if brothers can scoot forward, يَفْسَحِ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, if you make room for others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will facilitate and make room for you. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open up His maghfirah for all of us, insha'Allah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from those al-muhibbin, those who love Him, and ahibba, those who He loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran records for us the history of the prophets. And in particular, the prophecy, the final prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نِبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا. Every prophet has enemies. Every prophet has agitators. Every prophet has people that will oppose them. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala identifies that the prophets are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have this very powerful kind of energy happening in the Quran, that someone is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but at the same time, the creation may despise him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about our prophet that he's going to be met with very difficult challenges from people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرُهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. In many places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient, be patient, bima yaqulun, with what they say. Wahjuruhum, turn from them in a beautiful way. Now prior to that, in that chapter, Surah Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the remedy or the prescription for dealing with these difficulties. Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O you who are, and muzammil, mutazammil, yani the person who has covered themselves. And that's a metaphor for us now as a community, as we face challenges on multiple fronts. You know, some of us are, one day we're attacked by Fox News, and the next day we're attacked by Muslims who would actually pay to have Facebook ads lie about us. I mean, that's the level of attacks that we're dealing with as a community and as a people. Every week, one Muslim brother told me, like, what's next? Like, what's next week? It's like a soap opera, right? It's like, what's going to happen next? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something very profound. Instead of covering up, instead of being scared, instead of fleeing from the challenge, قُمِ لَيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. So in Surah Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to have ta'alluq billah, to increase his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the night vigil. The chapter thereafter also addresses the idea of covering up You find a number of young Muslims struggling with covering their identities because they feel worried. People will discover in their schools or in their places of work or where they hang out and chill, like, oh, you're a Muslim? Like Pac said, you're a Muslim now. And there's this fear of a Muslim planet, if you will. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the Prophet, Ya ayyuhal muddathir, qum fa'anzir. Both chapters, the order is to stand. So to Muzammil is to stand and have this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase your worship. So to Mudathir is an order to increase the da'wah, to increase the tabligh. Balligh anni walau ayah. So they both go hand in hand. This relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and propagating the truth. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Muzammil, Inna laka fi nahari sabahan tawila. You know, there's a qira'ah which is different than what most of us know, that says, Inna laka fi nahari sabahan tawila. Although this qira'ah is not from the mutawatirat, it's used by the fuqaha and the ulama of tafsir, because sabakh means to tear something in half, to rip it to pieces. So it's saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that reading, that in the daytime things are going to happen to you that are going to rip you to pieces. And this is the beloved of Allah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about him, Wallahu ya'simuka min an-nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to preserve you and protect you. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. We raised your name, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَكِنْ إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَرِ سَبَخًا تَوِيلًا. But in the daytime, it's another issue. You're going to hear things. لَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُلْتْكِتَابِ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا. You're going to hear things that bother you. وَمَا بِقَوْلِ كَاهِنْ. They're going to say you're a magician. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونٍ. They're going to say you're crazy, even though you are the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as we start this discussion, and there's two times I've seen in my life the masjid this crowded for Jumu'ah, was the Breaking Bad khutbah and this khutbah. My phone has been lighting up like the 4th of July. Is the khutbah at 1 o'clock? You sure it starts at 1? I'll be there at 12:57. Usually I get there at, 1:29. But today, I'll be there at 12:57. Like, why 12:57? Witr, subhanAllah. So now you hold to the sunnah. And that will lead into the second part of the khutbah, the issue of relevance. What do we mean by American Islam? What does that term mean that frightens people, that causes people to slander others and mention them in a bad way and causes people to like wake up if they're half awake in the khutbah? They actually look up and pay attention when they hear this word, because America and Islam to them maybe are anonyms. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, here we're taught two methods to deal with any difficulty. Number one is to increase our worship, and all of us have that power, bifadlillah. And the second is not to stop the da'wah, not to stop the propagation, not to stop living good lives, not to stop living prophetic examples. Because the light of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it cast on dark hearts, brings people to it. Now, in regards to what happened last Friday, when Mr. and Maher, by the way, is an Arabic word, the talented one, had some words in Sam Harris about Islam, I don't think we should demonize these people. I think we should speak to these people. Sam Harris said that Islam is loaded with bad ideas. It's like a software bungle. You buy it, everything's horrible. His host stated that in a challenge to liberal America and progressive America, that they don't have the guts to criticize Islam. In putting this khutbah together, a number of people, because the Muslim community is hypercritical, right? You could say have a nice day on Facebook, and someone who did some, semantic study course somewhere will like deconstruct it. Nice is from here, and have is like from a dominant culture perspective. You shouldn't say have. you're somehow inferring that you're empowered over others, like you have a day. Like, what are you talking about? We've become hypercritical to the point that I read an article this week in Islamic Monthly that deconstructs Malcolm. You know, how brilliant is it to deconstruct a hero held into a community? Communities need heroes. Not only was it factually inaccurate, that's another issue, but we've become so hypercritical as a community instead of hypersupportive that we're even deconstructing Malik Shabazz, rahimahullahu ta'ala rahmatan wasi'ah. But one of the criticisms that I received that I want to speak to is, why should we even care? Who cares? People criticize Islam, who cares? You know, we don't need to pay them attention. We just need to ignore them. Just do our thing. That runs contrary to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I will touch on that, the first part of this khutbah. I'm not here to deconstruct all of the notions of those two people versus Batman. That's not what I'm going to do on the minbar. There are other people, and we'll talk about that in a second khutbah, who are much more gifted in me than doing that, But what I will address is the need for us to wake up as a community in America and understand that it's code red. It's code red. People do not like us. We need to get with it. We're so complacent. We're so happy. We think everybody loves us. We think everything's fine. And that leads us to the sense of arrogance. We're the ummah which is mahfuza. But we feel because of that we have a right not really to work. It leads to laziness. Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he said, hope in Allah that causes someone to become apathetic is problematic. Hope in God and hope in the truth that leads to apathy is by itself contrary to truth, to hope itself. We read in Surah Al-Kahf every Friday, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّي فَلْيَعْمَلْ. Whoever hopes in meeting Allah, let them work. Let them work. So the idea that people sent to me, you know, this is part of providence and you should just, you know, who cares? So if we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find someone that was extremely concerned about the public image that he had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took great care in choosing someone who had an incredibly pristine public image. That's not an accident. That's part of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all studied that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before even he was given the office of prophethood, was someone that people trusted. People gave him the name Amin. Amin is sifa mushabba, which means that the Prophet is constantly trustworthy, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. To the point that Abu Sufyan, when he was at his greatest hatred for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was told that his daughter married him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I can think of no one better for her to marry, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. His image is upheld in the highest ranks. When he was asked, Abu Sufyan in Sahih al-Bukhari, by the king, about the character of the Prophet, said he's truthful, he doesn't lie, he honors his treaties, he's an upright person. And he said to him, that's prophethood, that's the quality of prophethood. So let us understand something. As we position ourselves in America, and as our concerns shift to this country theologically, we need to appreciate the value of being trusted. The value of being someone who is seen as holding prophetic morals and morality. Because that's the key to having a license to speak about religion. It's a beautiful thing in this country. That if you want to talk about God, you have to be someone that has a certain type of character. This is the fitrah of people. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is concerned about public image. And Allah is concerned about public image as long as principles are not sacrificed. And that's where we see two extremes. Those who sacrifice all the principles for public image, those who will cling on to things which are not necessarily principles to sacrifice our public image. Both are a problem. And what we have in the middle is the vital center. Now, there was a book in the 40s called The Vital Center. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. أُمَّةً وَسَطًا is the vital crucial center. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every generation will have udul. Every generation will have people who are vital to the central reality of Islam. Not the right, not the left, but in the middle, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, they will correct the irresponsibility of the hyper-liberals. I'm paraphrasing it, but that's the meaning in Arabic. And they will check the irresponsible notions of people who are hyper-conservative, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The vital center of a community. So you'll have two extremes. Those who will sacrifice every principle for public image, those who could care less about public image. They say, اِذْهَبْ أَنْتَ وَرَبُّكَ فَقَاتِلَ إِنَّهَا هُنَا قَائِلٌ. Those who say, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will handle it, don't worry. First is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him and gave him the most eloquent speech and the most beautiful of appearances, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So internally and externally. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Meaning internally and externally, he doesn't cause anyone to go astray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when there was ever an attack on his character, in the Quran, this is one of the few instances where there was no delay in the revelation. As soon as someone would say something about the character of our beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would immediately refute them. And the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would amass around the prophetic character to refute notions that would call him a liar, called him a sha'ir, a poet, said he was insane, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, na'udhu billah, and so on and so forth. Immediately they would respond. There was no delay because the value of character. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the Prophet, an afsahul arab wal ajam, the Prophet preserved him through eloquence, speech, the Quran. You know what the Orientalists are saying now? They're saying, we don't, listen to the statement, right? We don't believe that the Quran is revelation, but we believe it would take a normal person 200 years to write a book like that. SubhanAllah, you know, it's kind of self-evident. We don't believe, they say, that the Quran is wahi, but we believe it took 200 years for someone to write this book. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And then in Medina, when Islam takes on a social flavor, we see that the Prophet is concerned about public opinion. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In fact, in Mecca, why did the da'wah start secretly? Why does it build up over time? What does it start with his family members? And then slowly, slowly, وَأَنذِرْ عَشْرَتِكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him to relay the message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The concern for public image. Then in Medina, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on numerous occasions clearly states, this is my concern. For example, when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab, he asked the Prophet ﷺ to eliminate one of his enemies. The Prophet ﷺ said, do you want people to say, Anna Muhammadan, that the Prophet ﷺ, he orders his followers to be killed? Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, public imaging. When he conquered Mecca, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, and we know that the Kaaba is founded on the foundations which were established by Sayyidina Ibrahim, but that was changed over time. Till now, the Kaaba is not based on the foundations of Sayyidina Ibrahim. It was changed by the Quraysh. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha, if it wasn't that your people just became Muslim, I will order the Kaaba to be destroyed and rebuilt on the foundations of Sayyidina Ibrahim. Commenting on this, Imam An-Nawawi said, look at the genius of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who subhanallah, he eschews something good for something better out of concern for people, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We find in Surah Ma'idah, you know, you talk about converts and how to build people and how to let people build us also. And how to give people, you know, many young Muslims and Muslims even now in their middle ages have been, you know, they suffer from post-traumatic religious stress syndrome. They've come into communities and been abused by people. Abused bism al-haq. Look in Surah Ma'idah, the idea of public concern and rhetoric with Sayyidina Isa. When his followers ask him, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أنزل علينا من السماء. Ask Allah to send ma'ida. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send the table to us from the heavens. One, in the qira'ah, you know, he said, can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can he send ma'idatan min as-sama'? Hal yumkinu rabbuna subhanahu wa ta'ala an yunazzil al-ma'ida min as-sama'? That's the Arabic tafsir of the meaning of the verse. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if he can send us a table from the heavens. This question is kufr. You know, if you go to any book of Aqidah, the question is kufr, as-su'al kufr. Can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fa'alu lima yurid? Allah can do whatever he wants. These are hawariyun, ha'ula talamid, Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu. These are the students of a prophet. And they're asking him, can Allah do something? Did Sayyidina Isa make takfir of them? He said, you know, according to this matan, you're kufar. According to this, you're out of Islam. La. He answered them. Imam al-Qutubi, he comments on this. And he said that some scholars said the reason for this response is because they just became Muslim. The concern for the imaging of how new Muslims are treated. Every day I get a phone call from a new Muslim across the country who has really had their humanity challenged because of how they are. Maybe they have tattoos, maybe they have some jewelry, you know, maybe they haven't changed their name, maybe they dress a certain way. And I've seen a trend now. It's not just a convert, but it's people in their 30s, people in their 40s who are calling me and saying, you know, I went into a mosque with a suit and someone told me I'm wearing the dress of, you know, the non-Muslims. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. The public imaging of Islam, not only externally, but internally. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina with his wife Safiya, he went outside with her at nighttime. People couldn't recognize her. And he said to them, and this is also in the Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the narration is interesting. He said to them, this is my wife. This is my wife. They said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, none of us would ever think, subhanAllah, that you were up to something, man. The Prophet said that shaitan, he runs through the veins of people like blood. He's concerned with his image, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the man urinates in his masjid and he allows it to go down, he's concerned about imaging, how it looks. And the end of his life, when he asked people on Hajj, did I deliver the message to you? Because iqraru sayyidul adilla, did I deliver this message? They said, yes. Then he said, oh Allah, bear witness to what they said. Oh Allah, bear witness to what they said. Oh Allah, bear witness to what they said. So the notion that we as a community should not be concerned about imaging and should not be concerned about how we appear or look at a broader level is frightening. Especially when you think about what was up on that show. The liberal community, for the most part, has been an ally of the Muslim community. Even besides the mistakes we've made ourselves. Really, the last bastion of support you'll find in this country are amongst the liberals and some moderately conservative people. What happened on that show that night was to challenge that community and its traditional support of religious minorities in this country. And if we don't think that that's something we should be worried about, then basically we are building our own coffins. And I understand that's a scary metaphor, but potentially we are setting ourselves up for a very difficult road if we do not start to take our imaging and the rhetoric that we portray seriously. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us strength. We ask Allah to give us wisdom. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us to be from those who are inspirations for others. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد سيد الأولين والآخرين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. الله سبحانه وتعالى إن القرآن said أدعو إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة. Invite with wisdom. There are a few points I want to make about what I just said. We shouldn't become overly terrified. You know, don't walk out of this khutbah, you know, needing to like go to a spa somewhere and let all your fear out. That's not what I'm talking about here. But what I'm talking about is taking the moment very seriously. And there are three points that have happened across the board over the last week in the media. The media in general has been very supportive, but there are a few points that I want to make. Number one is, I continually pushed, as I've been in this community, the imperative nature and reality of creating an American Islamic identity. I believe it is wajib. And the reason I say that is when you look at every criticism or every praise of our community, overseas is invoked either to validate us as a community or overseas is invoked to demonize us as a community. Pundits from NPR, Fox News, CBS, CNN, you name it. What is constantly invoked is Muslims are bad because people overseas. Muslims are good because of people overseas. What's not invoked is Muslims are this or that based on an American Muslim community. In other words, we are being measured, weighed, and determined by events that are completely outside of our hands. And the scary part of that is that most of us in this masjid right now may have those same kind of psychological, that same ethos, where I value myself as a convert by emulating something from overseas. I, as a fresh American, have still not decided which foot my soil is on. But my point is this, that there are incredible examples of American Muslims that are being ignored. And that's because our community still does not have a distinct identity in this country, whereas other religions do. If you think of the Jewish community, you think of social justice. You think of the Christian community, you may think of MLK. There's negatives to that too in this history as well. They overcame that. Christian community, slavery. There are negatives on that side that they were able to overcome because they invested themselves in speaking to the theological, spiritual, and material challenges of this country. That doesn't mean that we ignore overseas. When Fox News attacked me, this is about the 20th time, alhamdulillah, I'm gonna start getting like the general with the stars. What did they say about me when it came to Ayan Hirsi Ali? You know what they said? They said, well, she's a born Muslim from overseas. He's an American convert. There's no way he knows more than her. So overseas has become either a liability or an alibi. Although perhaps my academic training in Islam is far more extensive than Ayan, and I say that respectfully, that doesn't matter because I'm from here, she's from there. So the ethos that's running through the media now is that we can validate the Muslims because today or yesterday, a young Muslim girl, may Allah bless her, mashallah, from Pakistan, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. The fifth Muslim in 14 years to win the Nobel Peace Prize, mashallah. There's a response. But at the same time, while she represents Muslims from Pakistan, and that's wonderful, and implicitly she represents all Muslims, where is the American example? Where is the American community? Where is the American Muslim identity? I gave a speech once at Yale, I believe, and I listed some names of Muslims like Lupe, Dave Chappelle, and the non-Muslims in the audience were like, why are you saying, who are they? I was like, they're Muslims. And they're like, no, that's a comedian and that's a rapper. See the rhetoric? I was like, no, that's a Muslim who's a comedian, that's a rapper, or a Muslim who's a rapper, or vice versa. The challenge of creating a community within this country. And that's what Reza Aslan spoke to very beautifully in his op-ed in the New York Times. That Islam needs to get with this problem of being so authoritarian. When Islam came to America, especially in the 90s, until now, people come to me with issues they have with me personally. I would say 85% of them are issues of ijtihad. 85% of them are issues that scholars were not really worried about. They didn't fight over it. They didn't get involved in those things. Can you eat meat outside? Can you listen to music? Can you this? Can you that? Can you this? Al-babu fihi wasi'. Those are issues the scholars have been discussing for years. But when we came to this country, and those of us who converted because of our insecurities as a convert, We sought to authenticate ourselves by authorizing ourselves, maybe by taking it out on other people, creating an authoritarian community. And that what RZA spoke to is very powerful, because we don't need to necessarily be authoritarian, we need to be prophetic. And that takes me to the second point. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I believe the translation is wrong. Constantly the Prophet is translated as a model. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. You know, model is something that you look at, something that you say, wow, that's incredible. But then you go in the mirror and you realize gravity set in and you can never be like that. Like, that's a model. A model is someone who makes you consider Botox. A model is someone who makes you consider getting your nose broken and shrunk. The Prophet is not a model, he's a qudwa. And qudwa means inspiration. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to inspire us to live greater than we believe we can live. To challenge us every day to uncover our own abilities and our own ethical commitments that we may never thought we had. And that's why the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعُوا. He said, what I ordered you to do, do it based on istita'a. If you want to translate istita'a, really the better translation is potential. Do it to your potential. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a spiritual personal trainer who stands in front of you and behind you and says, Fatima, push yourself to be better. Ahmed, push yourself to be better. Suhaib, push yourself to be better. He is a potential for all of us. Because when we look in the pond of the Prophet ﷺ, what is reflected back to us is our deficiencies and our successes. And as a community, oftentimes because of the authoritarian narrative, you find young Muslims depressed, down, broken. You know, I met a young Muslim brother one day. Wallahi, he looked like he had been like deflated. So I said, what happened? He said, man, my father just told me I'm the worst human being in the world. Like, where's Bashar Assad and all that? No, I mean, really? For your father to say that. And when I talked to his father, he told me, wallahi, I was trying to motivate him. It's not funny. This happens in homes all the time. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he serves for us as a model. And that model is a model of potential. It challenges us, like what we saw now. I will speak back to that. I'm challenging that brother to think beyond what he understands. And it may make him uncomfortable. I stand in front of you as a convert, maybe like saying to you, لَمْ تُحِتْ بِهِ خُبْرًا. Maybe you can't understand me because of my experiences in life. If that's the case, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But the reality is that the Prophet is a reminder of potential for every one of us. And that leads us to the last point. In this country, if we don't take institutionalization seriously, and if we don't stop criticizing each other to the point that we undermine our ability to grow, we are going to have some very serious problems. You know, I sat in a gathering of people of other faiths. I sat next to a man, his phone kept ringing. I said, man, I thought I have to change my number every 2 months, bro. I think you need to do it every 2 hours. And he said to me, these are people angry with me. I said, are you married? Like, who's calling you, right? And he said, no, these are my donors. They're my donors, but they're angry with me. So I said, are they going to stop supporting you? You know what he told me? They get the struggle. We don't get the struggle. So an imam, a sheikh, an institution like ISNA, MASS, ICNA, they might take a position that we don't agree with, and we'll be bari'u minhum. We'll give up on them. Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he didn't give up on the Sahaba, even when they made mistakes. Even when they sold him out. You know, in Sahih Bukhari, people who sold him out, he forgave them. Because he understood the need for a collective good. So the last point I'll make is that in this country, and I understand that there are massive institutional problems, the lack of transparency in governance is a massive problem that creates apathy. I encourage young American Muslims, start your own institutions if you have to. Rebuild from ground up. It may sound like it's irresponsible, but if people are not willing to change and adopt more progressive, transparent modalities, you may have no choice for what's awaiting us around the corner. And let me give you some people I think we should support in this current struggle. Number one, we should support Wajahat Ali. Whether you agree with Wajahat, I don't agree with him, I don't care. I might not agree with him on a lot of things, but at the same time, there's a lot of good he's doing. No one is more apt to speak to liberal America like Wajahat. Number two, Harun Mogul. Many of us know Harun. He's an incredibly brilliant, talented young man, a writer like I've never seen. He's one of our katib. He's someone that we should support. His articles should be out there. Yasser Qadhi, a brilliant scholar, you know, who's made massive changes. Sheikh Hamza, you know, people love to attack Sheikh Hamza, and I have my own theories about that. We can differ with Sheikh Hamza on a number of issues, but the khair of Sheikh Hamza is much more. The good of Sheikh Hamza is much more. Dr. Ingrid Madison, a brilliant young scholar, a brilliant woman who's a scholar. Maryam Amir Ibrahimi, a young woman who's an Azhari, was my student for 10 years, Hafiz of Quran, speaks Persian, English, and Arabic. Why are these people not pushed by the broader community? Because we're too busy arguing. Zahir Ali, a brilliant scholar on Malcolm X, who lives in New York City. Intisar Rab, who lives in this city. These are people that we should strategically support. And there are others as we continue this struggle. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us understand the power. Although I differ with my brother upstairs, I appreciate his sincerity. But the Prophet was concerned about what people thought about him. If it wasn't the case, the Quran wouldn't have corrected them. Number two, that we need to think deeply, deeply, deeply about the situation. Islamophobia now, they've raised $22 million in 5 years. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. $22 million in 5 years. Look at just the attack on me in 1 week from three different angles. Even the Muslim site that claims to be Muslim is ran by the Islamophobes. It's not ran by Muslims. That's how deep it gets. Secondly, we need to understand that each of us has potential to be realized through the Prophet. We should aspire, not be broken. And the third is the need to strongly support institutions and individuals. You know, Qari Abdul Wahhab al-Baghdadi was one of the greatest scholars of his age. He had no support in Iraq. I'm saying this respect to Iraqis. This is now. This is 1,000 years ago. Don't get upset with me. He had no support. He's a talented leader, brilliant. He was undermined by people close to him who did things, tried to replicate things that he was already doing that undermined him. Secondly, he didn't have a supporting cast. To the point he left. He left Iraq and moved to Egypt. And the Egyptians, you know, mashallah, they hooked him up. And he said, لَقَدْ كُنْتُ فِي الْإِرَاقِ كَالْمُصْحَفِ بَيْتِ زَنَدِيقِ. He has a poem where he talks about it. And he said, I was in Iraq like a Quran in the house of someone who hates Islam. That's how I was in Iraq. So not only should we support institutions, even though we may be critical of individuals, we need to see a larger good and support those people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُؤَلِّفْ بَيْنَ قُلُوبُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ كَمَا نَسَأَلُهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يُثَبِّتْنَا الْحَقِّ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُرِينَ الْحَقِّ. We ask Allah to show us the truth and make us from those who follow the truth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from people of wisdom and mercy. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to forgive each other for our shortcomings and to magnify the good that we do. We ask Allah to bless brothers like Harun Mogul, Wajahat Ali, Sister Intisar, Dr. Ingrid Madison, Sheikh Hamza, Dr. Yasser Qadhi, those people, Riza Aslan, those people who are Deen Ubaidullah, who are speaking on behalf of our community at the public level. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide them insight and prophetic wisdom in doing that work. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help those of us who in our community are sick. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cure them internally and externally. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the people of Somal. We ask Allah to bless and protect the people of Iraq. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from dhulama, wherever they are. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the book of Allah beloved to us and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an inspiration for all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from the vital sinner, ummatan wasata, as we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a blessing and a means of blessing for those of around us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents who have passed away, to guide our parents who are alive, and to bless those around us with hidayah through our actions. We have a young girl who passed away. She was only 10 years old, Sister Maryam. We'll be praying janazah for her after Salatul Jum'ah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her parents patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make her a means for their maghfirah and Allah. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.